And then we're looking at Revelation chapter 20, verse 15. And it says, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And verse chapter 20, verse 12 says, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me. And that should be verse 22. I gave them the wrong verse. That should be chapter 22, verse 12. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. Amen. Can we read that together?
And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be.
And then we also, which is the verse we hope to speak from, is this verse. That should also be chapter 22, verses 20 through 21. Let us read that together. He which testifies these things saith, surely I come quickly.
Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.
Amen. Now you see why I wanted to talk about grace. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So this morning, we are continuing this subject, although it's from a different verse. We're talking about Jesus Christ is coming to town. Can you say it together, please? One more time. Amen, amen. You may be seated. One thing that is important for us to understand about grace, and why you got your Bible handy, Paul wrote 13 letters, some believe 14, but we need to look briefly at these letters, and that's a lot of reading. But we'll go quick, right? Amen. If you look at Romans chapter 1, verse 7, Romans, now after the book of Acts, we have Romans. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, right?
Amen.
In Romans chapter 1, verse 7, you got to say amen.
Amen.
To all, Romans 1, 7, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, what does it say?
Grace,
grace to you and what?
Peace.
From God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul started his level of grace, and look at the last chapter of Romans, chapter 16 and verse 24, and you will find the grace of our Lord Jesus be with you all, amen, amen. Romans chapter 16, verse 24, the grace of our Lord Jesus, can you read that together? And look over the next book, 2 Corinthians. Paul wrote that book also, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. Notice what he says. Read verse 3. Grace be unto you. Grace and peace, over and over again. Grace and peace. He opens and closes his book, Grace and Peace. Look at the end of the book, chapter 16. If you look at the end of the book, and you'll find this word, verse 23, it says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. 16:23. And then 2 Corinthians, he wrote them back. And when he wrote them back in verse 2, he said, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. He opens his letters and closes them the same way. Amen. And grace is when God gives you what you don't deserve. You don't deserve heaven. You don't deserve to be in here.
Amen.
You don't deserve to be singing these songs.
Amen.
But because of the grace of God.
Yes.
Now, how did it say we're saved? We're saved by grace. Amen. Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace are you saved. Grace is God giving you what you don't deserve. It's a gift.
Amen.
It's a gift.
Amen.
And so, and then as you look at this, so we go back now as we talk about this. Jesus Christ is coming to town. Amen. Because, see, it's one thing to be ready, but it's another thing to stay ready. But a lot of times people are not ready because they procrastinate and they plan to get ready. You wonder, how do people not? Now, Jesus says, I come quickly, and so I'm coming so quick, you got to be ready when I come. I may knock at any time. And it's not so much that he is coming back so fast as it is when he shows up, he's going to do everything so fast. You went to the doctor and they said, well, this is going to hurt you. I'm going to poke you. Amen. You go take a blood test or something. Amen. You have an annual physical, at least you should. And when you go in there, you know when you're going to get there. You don't know how long it's going to take for you to get to the doctor's office. But when you finally get there, she said, it's in and out, just like that. Jesus, I'm going to be here so fast. Have you ever seen anybody knocked on the door and you ain't had time to get up yet and you get your clothes on? He said, I'm coming back so quick. It doesn't mean that I'm going to return quick. It means when I do show up, I'm going to do it real fast. And you got to be ready because you won't have time to get your clothes on. Because when I go, I'm going. I'm going to shut the door. We saw that last week. The door is going to be shut. And once the door is shut, no more opportunities for grace. He said, so you better tell them they better hear. When should they accept Christ? The day they hear my voice. The day you hear my voice, that's when you should move. Because when I do come, I'm in and out of there. I won't be there. You better be ready. Because you ain't going to have time to get ready when I come. So you got to be ready. Now, when we talk about this, we need to understand that we need to stay ready. Because this is the Advent season. Amen. What is the Advent? We don't know what the Advent is. Amen. The Advent is, I didn't get that. The term is a verse of the Latin word meaning what?
Coming.
So when you talk about the Advent season, Jesus came, his first Advent was when he came Christmas. Amen. That's his Advent season. It's a Latin word meaning coming. He came. Now, he's coming back. So there's going to be a second Advent. Amen. We know that when he comes, one time he comes, he's going to come into the, he's coming in the air. The next time he's coming to Austin. See, when he comes back the next time, he's going to stop in the air. That's the rapture. But he's not coming all the way to the earth. He's just going to stop in the air. But the next time he comes, he's coming all the way to the earth. So we need to understand that when Jesus comes, his second coming, his second advent, he's going to be coming back again. So we need to pay attention to these things. And the aim of our sermon is for us to see that the best is yet to come. At least for Christians, the best is yet to come. Amen. Amen. The best is yet to come. No matter how bad it is now, the best is yet to come. Amen. Can everybody say the best is yet to come? Amen. And when you talk about, this is our little outline, Jesus Christ is coming to town. And we need to focus. You need to focus on the fact that on that which is great, the focus on the gifts and the grace are the things that we need to focus on. That which is great, because it's a terrible thing to have to deal with this. But the truth of the matter is, Jesus Christ is coming back. Now, one of the fundamentals of our faith is that Jesus Christ, and you'll look at that in verse 11 after a while, but one of the fundamentals of our faith is the literal second coming of Jesus Christ. He's actually coming back. He's not just coming back in your mind. Amen. We're not talking. We know the deity of Christ and the virgin birth, the inerrancy of Scripture, the substitutionary atonement, the literal. Not that he's just coming back in our head. No, he's literally, actually coming back. And we talk about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. People forget about that. It is the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. He's not just going to rise in our head or we think he's. No, he physically got up. And if you go to a church and they don't believe in all of these fundamentals, that's a red flag. Amen. But the literal Jesus Christ is coming back to Austin. Are you looking forward to seeing him?
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen. The Bible makes it plain. Jesus told his disciples after. He said, just like he told his disciples that morning, he said, the same way that you seen Jesus taken up into a cloud, it says, the same way you're going to see him come back. He shall come in like manner as you have seen him go. Because when Jesus was up there, they began, and when he began to speak these words to them while he spake, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. So Jesus left here going up in the clouds, and he's coming back the same way in a cloud. He's coming back with clouds. And what we need to understand here is that you know, now this is not the rapture. We know that the, you know, like I said, the rapture, it says, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up. That word caught up in the Greek means snatched up to rapture, together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. That's in the air. But that's not the second, that is not this coming we're talking about in Revelation. This is when he's coming back for the rapture. That is, we are going to be raptured. But then again, you need to understand, amen, that this is talking different, because when you look at Revelation 1 and 7, here's what you see. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and this one is different. Every eye shall see him, and they which also pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. When Jesus, in his second coming, it won't be like it. It's not going to be like the rapture, because we're going to disappear with the rapture and nobody will even know we're gone. But when you talk about his second coming, everybody going to know it. Amen. Everybody, he's coming with cloud in every eye. Even the folk that pierced him are going to see it. The people that pierced him. And all of the kindreds of the earth are going to wail because of him. That is every eye. There's a difference between disappearing without anybody knowing it and every eye seeing it. So the second coming, every eye will see it. Amen. Every eye will see it. Can everybody say every eye?
Every eye.
And say your eye too. Amen.
Your eye too.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And so Jesus Christ is coming. And when he comes, well, I didn't go over verse 11. I didn't hit on it. But look at when I say it, chapter 20, verse 11, what you find is that what's great about it, he said, I saw a great white throne in him that sat on it, and from whom the face of the earth and the heaven fled away. So this is when God has made a new heaven and a new earth. But the first one is going to be it's going to be burned up, as we'll see. The world is going to be burned up. It's not going to be renovated. It's going to be burned up. Amen. It's not that it's going to be renovated. It's going to be, we're going to have a new heaven and a new earth. We don't understand all of this. This is apocalyptic literature, and I didn't get into a lot of the things about some other thing, but I wanted to emphasize that grace. That's very important. So we see that there's a great white throne. Now, we all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, but not the great white throne. The great white throne is where you stand and you're going to receive some rewards. I mean, the great white throne is where you're going to be judged for your sins. And the Bible tells us that he saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. Verse 20, the books were opened and the people were cast into hell. In verse 15. Amen. This is really going to happen. The book of those whose names were not found written in the book of life. That means that you got saved. Amen. They'll be cast into the lake of fire. Amen. And so this is a great period, the great white throne. Can everybody say great?
Great,
great white throne.
Great white throne.
The great white throne judgment. This is a great white throne. I mean, you are going to be standing before this throne, and you're going to have to be, if you're not written in the book of life, you're going to be thrown. Now, we will stand before the judgment seat of Christ, but that's not the great white throne. We'll stand to be judged according to whether or not we use our gift. You can benefit this service in some way, and you need to be using it, because you shouldn't be sitting on your gift. You have to bring your contribution. Make your contribution to this church, to the body of Christ. That's why I like these people. Everybody over here using their gift. You know why? Because Christ is coming back and he's going to ask them, didn't I give you the gift to do that? And why haven't you been doing it? You say, well, I'm sitting down. What for what? I'm going to judge you for what you did with your gift. You talking about you want some gifts? He gave you some. You need to use it to honor God. Well, let me move on. The truth is that this is a... And then he said in verse 12, what did he say? We know what he said. is that he said that he, we read it about the fact that he said, my reward is with me to give to every man according to, amen. Now, that should be chapter 22, verse 12. Amen. Chapter 22. Now, we in the last book of the Bible, down to the last two verses. But in verse 12, it says, behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according to his work. Now, this is not about salvation. You're awarded salvation, but you're rewarded for your works. Works are earned. Salvation is given. Amen. God just awarded us salvation. You get it free. But you got to earn some works. And those are incentives that will motivate us, because we know we're going to have to answer to God. If I got a gift of singing, I better be singing. If he called you to preach, you better be preaching. If he called you to teach, you better be teaching. If he called you to blow a horn, you better blow that horn. Because he said, you making my program suffer because you sitting on your gift. I've given you a gift, and it blesses the service. Get busy. Amen. Praise the Lord. And you said, Peter said, you know what, Lord? We have followed you, and we have left everything to follow you. Peter said, now I want to know what I'm going to get out of it. You want me to leave my house? You want me to leave the things I like to do? And you want me to sacrifice the things I have to do? I want to know what I got coming. He said, Lord, we done left everything to follow you. Now, here we are here in the desert. I want to know what. Let me slow down. Amen. What did he say? The Lord answered him and said, verily I say unto thee, there is no man, Peter, that has left houses, brothers and sisters and fathers and mothers and wife and children and lands for my sake and the gospel. You see what they had to leave? All those things can get in the way. They can be hindrances. There are some hindrances. Riches can be hindrances. Relationships can be hindrances. And they had to leave. And they said, Peter said, I want to know what I want to get out of it. And up there, verse 28, Peter said, I want to know what I got coming. He said, look, Peter, there is no man that has left their house, their brothers and sisters, father and mother. And sometimes your wife may stop you. Amen. Some relationships can hinder you from doing God's will. And they would say, well, if your wife don't agree with it, you may not preach. So, well, you got to do what I told you. Or your children, they can stop you. Or your property. Amen. Your land. Your fields. None of these things. And you did it for my sake. I'm going to pay you for it. And the gospels. You did it for me, and you did it for the good news. I'm blowing a horn for the good news. I'm singing for the good news. All this has to do with the good news of Jesus Christ. And in this we said, and he shall receive 100-fold. That's 100 times now. And in time, he's going to receive it now. And in time, houses. God said, I'm going to give you some more houses. I'm going to give you some more brothers and sisters. I'm going to give you mothers. Somebody say, why didn't he put father in there? Because God, we got a father when we got God. And children. I'm going to give you some land. I'm going to give you some spiritual relatives. Amen. I'm going to give you some more. Aren't we brothers and sisters? You left your brothers and sisters. Well, you my brother and I'm your sister. I got it backwards. I'm not your sister, but you my sister and I'm your brother. Amen. Sister Williams say, my brother. Amen. I like the way you say it. She keep everything in perspective. We're brothers and sisters. Oh, that's what it is. But he said, you're going to get blessed now. And in the world to come, eternal life. But now you notice that I'm going to be saying, with persecution. There's going to be some problems. Don't think that the devil ain't. Matter of fact, if you're doing anything for the Lord, the devil is coming after you. The devil does not bother folk. You ever wonder why folk hang around things that's got potential? The devil says, I got to stop this. But if ain't nothing going nowhere, he ain't trying to stop nothing. But wherever something's about to happen, where he knows that you can make a difference and you're a potential threat to his kingdom, he's going to get in there some kind of way and cause some problems and some disruptions. That's the way that the devil operates every time. If you ain't doing anything, he ain't bothering you. The devil ain't bothering you, you must not be doing nothing. You must not be no threat. But he hang around where the potential is. He knows what's going on. And he said, look, you're going to get all this, but there's going to be some persecution. There's going to be some trouble. Don't think because you're in church you won't get persecuted. I've been persecuted by folk who name the name of Christ more than I have the man with the wine bottle. I'd rather be out there with them today. Amen. Not what I know now, but the point is that you can get treated worse. There's going to be persecution. He said, in the world you shall have trials and tribulation, but be happy about it, because I have overcome the world. Don't you think that there are no hindrances? Amen. Now, the fact of the matter is that but if you do what God tells you, you're going to get eternal life. You're going to get blessed while you're here. You're going to get riches. He said, I'm going to give you houses. You see that? Houses too. If you walk right, if you live by the Bible and follow the rules of Scripture, you can't help but get blessed. Materially, physically, he's going to give you everything you need. It's automatic because of the way we live positions us for blessings. When you walk in obedience, those things come. You don't even be looking for them. They show up. Amen. Houses. Not just one house. You get multiple houses. I wish I had time to go in there. Land, property. God said, I'm going to bless you over and over. You can't leave. Now, he said, now one day I want to hear you say, he said, the Lord, amen. He said, one day I want to hear you say, well done, thou good. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. When Jesus come back, and what is he going to do? He said, I'm going to make you ruler, faithful. You've been faithful over a few. Now I'm going to make you ruler over many. Now come on in. I was watching you. You were down there and you were faithful. You were dedicated over just a little bit. Amen. Amen. You were faithful with what little you had. You brought your little bit to the game. Now come on up. I'm going to make you ruler. God is going to position us over portions of his universe. We ain't got time to get into that, but rulers over cities, rulers over his universe, over galaxies maybe. I don't know. It's mystical. It's apocalyptic. It is something that you cannot, when you look at the book of the Revelation, which is one revelation that was given to John. The word means apocalypse. Amen. But he says that it's. But he revealed this to him, and he says in verse 7, he says, chapter 22, verse 7, he says, surely I come quickly. Amen. 22, amen. He says, surely I come quickly. It says so in verse 7. It says so in verse 12. It says so in verse 20. Jesus says, behold, I come quickly. Behold, I come quickly. Surely I come quickly in verse 20. Amen. Surely. Jesus wants us to know that he is coming back. But before he comes back, you need to understand that people are going to doubt the fact that he's coming back. Do you believe he's coming back? Do you believe he's coming back? He said, the Bible says, Peter already told us in the last days, first, this is how you know you're in the last day. First, there shall come in the last days scoffers. Amen. People that who are going to be ridiculing you. People are going to be joking about, making fun of the fact that you're talking about Jesus coming back. And you know what they're going to say? The same thing they say today. Verse 4, where is the promise of his coming? Since the fathers fell asleep, we haven't seen. Everything continues just like they were from the beginning. That kind of talk lets you know that Jesus Christ is around the corner. In the last days, people are going to be talking about that. And he says, but now I want you to understand that there are going to be doubters. But understand that the world is going to get burned up. Okay? If you keep studying Peter, you'll find out that God is not slack concerning his promise. Amen. He made a promise as men count slackness, but he is long-suffering to usward, not willing that anybody perish. You wonder why Jesus is taking so long? But he wants everybody to come to repent. That means turn away from your sins. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. Now, the thief, you don't know when he's coming. Now, they focus on not on how long Jesus is going to take, but when he come, it's going to be quick. The thief hit you before you went to the store and came back and your stuff was, he stole your stuff. He did it that fast. Jesus is coming back so fast. If you ain't saved, that's why you have to get saved. When he does come, he's going to come so fast, you ain't going to have time to get saved. It's going to be like a thief in the night, and the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. He's talking about the celestial. When you talk about the terrestrial, you're talking about the earth. But when you talk about the celestial, you're talking about the planets, the heavenly bodies. You're talking about Saturn. You're talking about the moon. You're talking about. He says that the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, and the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. Bam! Everything passed away.